Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Network show. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and folks, oh man, it's been a very, very, very interesting weekend. Or, you know what? Now that I reflect truly back on it, it's just been a very interesting week. And I say that because I had the opportunity to watch the opening, as we talked about it last week, watch the opening of school sports. But it wasn't not only just the opening of school sports. Recreational leagues started their basketball season and other seasons. So in that time period, over the last few days, I've had an opportunity to observe some things. And the things that I observe make you want to say, And I say that because it was us as sports parents, us as the group that's there to be our child's biggest advocate, us as the group that are there to be our child's very first agent in sports. My observation touched highly on, very heavily on, what are we doing? Now, this is not a negative thing. It's just an observation. So I'm going to try to put it as clearly and as honestly as I possibly can. But before doing that, I want to always reach out and acknowledge my man, Mr. Keith Wright, who put this little piece together for us called The College Experience. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
You know, that's my man, Mr. Keith Wright. He said he's living and he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. I always like to hear that young man echo those very same words because, man, if we can get so many of our children to take on that mindset, I really and truly believe that sports may be that vehicle to change the world. Just taking on that mindset. He's living and he's making smart cool. Sports will be the vehicle to change the world. I'm just saying. But like I said, I want to talk a little bit about today, about us. What are we doing, parents? What are we doing on that regular basis in the gym? You know, what are some of the things that we're getting into? And when I thought about this particular episode, I thought about highlighting active and inactive parents. But I said, I went back and kind of sort of, rethought it and realized, decided that, that's not the direction I want to go. But what I do want to highlight, I do want to highlight some things that I observed this week. Let's start with middle school activities, middle school sports. Now, I had a chance to see a variety, just two separate sports. But I can actually call it three. And I say three, although two of the sports are the same. But it's boys and girls basketball. Now, believe it or not, just bear with me and see if you fit into this category. Because what I observe is there's a slightly different level of interest and interaction when we're talking about boys and girls basketball. And I'm talking about level of interest and interaction coming from us as parents sitting in the stands. You know, at a boys' competition, oh man, you can see all kinds of things going on. In a girls' competition, although it's the same exact game being played in the same manner with the same rules, as I'm looking at the parents in the stands, I'm noticing that there's a very, very, very big difference. And I had a chance to see a girls game first and then followed by a boys game. And I had a chance to watch a total of four games this week, two boys, two girls. And it caught my attention at the first game, which was Monday. But then I said, that's just because this game is slow. The second game, which was basically mirrored the first game, I'm talking about both from the boys' perspective and from the girls' perspective. Same observation. Basically, the same thing took place. And I said, there may be something here. There may be something that needs to be studied, because the level of enthusiasm coming from the boys' game was high, whereas the parents' level of enthusiasm while watching the girls' game wasn't quite as high. And it made me wonder, it made me think, why is this so? Why would there be a difference in the games? From a parent's perspective, we are talking about our children. We are talking about being supportive. We are talking about being their biggest advocates. So why the same level of excitement and interest is not being displayed from a girls' game compared to a boys' game? interesting. I'm going to personally note, observe, carefully monitor what I'm watching or what I'm seeing coming from the stands over the next few months and see if there, if it was just the first four games that I watched just was because whatever reason, parents was not excited or showed the level of enthusiasm that they did at the boys' game when observing the girls' game. And I'm also going to try to step in and just see just a little bit coming from high school sports. And I'm going to peek in on what's happening at the recreational level. Because we all know the recreational level is where it all starts. Where it all starts. And if this enthusiasm, for whatever reason, is suppressed at the recreational level, that's kind of sort of telling you the story, how it moves forward when we're talking about middle school or high school. So I'm going to observe the recreational level. I had a chance to briefly watch a recreational level practice. Now, mind you, it was some elementary school kids, and they were out there trying to learn the game. Now, there were some parents that were sitting on the edge of their seat or very attentive to what was going on, watching every little drill, every little interaction that their child is having. And then there were some parents that were sitting there, literally, didn't look up one time, was texting on your phone. What message does that send your child? That's my question. What message does that send your child? And if so, is that the message you really and truly want to send? What I'm going to do, I'm going to put the line, to put the number out there for the phone line. So if you want to call in, you got a question, you got a comment, you just want to add to my conversation this afternoon, by all means, please do. Never know. You may have the answer to these questions that I just presented. 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Give us a call. Let us know your thoughts on sports parenting. Going back to what I was talking about, recreational level. You know, I had the pleasure of observing a young man that came in. He had practice, and evidently the practice was canceled, but for whatever reason, him or his parent was notified. Yeah, that could be a little frustrating at times, because if you took the time to come all the way out there and, you know, bring your child to the practice and no one notifies you that practice has been canceled, yeah, that could be a little frustrating. But the young man came out, practice was canceled, the dad got in touch with the coach. Coach confirmed that, yes, practice is canceled. Sorry you came out, so on and so forth. You know, dad, coach did all the things to cover and let the dad know, hey, we're looking forward to seeing him out at the next practice. So the young man figured, hey, well, while I'm here, I might as well shoot the ball around a little bit. And so he kindly asked if I had a ball. because he didn't come in with one. And I said, no problem. I got him a ball and just let him shoot it around a little bit. And as I observed him shooting the ball, I was like, okay, well, he has a pretty decent little thing going on here. Nice shot. Fundamentally sound. But what really caught my attention was that the dad was still in conversation via text message with the coach. Now, it wasn't no heated conversation because he was sharing with us things that the coach was sharing with him. And I found that to be very interesting. And I say that because the coach was explaining to dad why he canceled practice, because he was involved in some other activity at the time. And he had let everyone know earlier in the week. Evidently, the dad didn't get the text message. But once I realized practice was over, or practice had been canceled, and I confirmed it with the coach, I didn't really need to go into any great detail on what was what. I just simply need to be there to be supportive of my child. That would have been my thoughts. But he spent the next few minutes texting back and forth with the coach and sharing, hey, yeah, the coach is out there at the state championship for football and da-da-da. Huh? Okay, your child's over here putting up some shots, getting active in the gym. Can you help him? Can you rebound? Can you get the ball for him? Could you just stand there and watch him? And, you know, he did take the time to share with me how good he thought his son was. And I seen some potential in the young man as well. But for you to say that, you know, you think your son's very good, but you're not doing anything to boost that confidence, help him with the ball, anything. You know, when you're in the gym and you're putting up some shots and you're all by yourself, the biggest thing that you want out there is someone being there to support you. And one of the main things that we can do as parents, first and foremost, is not just sit there and watch the child while we're on our phone doing something else, something that's totally irrelevant to the activity at the moment. But one of the things that we can do to be supportive of the child is help them rebound, get the ball. Get the ball back to them so they can continue their flow, so they don't spend half the time walking across the court chasing the ball after the ball took a wild bounce after a missed shot. But I watched his dad, and that was his thing. His thing was more engaged in reading and sharing what the coach was talking about in the text message than he was to be supportive of his child. Very odd. Very, very, very odd. I don't think there has been a time when my children were in the gym or on the field involved in any activity and I wasn't engaged. I just don't think that that's where I was at in my child's life. Now, am I trying to tell you how to be a parent? No, definitely not. But know this, they often like to see our engagement. Our engagement oftentimes minus the criticism. I am so serious when I share that last point. the criticism isn't something that they need. Just to be there and be supportive, get the ball, throw it back to them. We don't even have to say anything. Just getting the ball and helping them, or when you're on the field with them and they're kicking the ball, kicking the goals or whatever, hey, roll the ball, kick the ball back to them. If you know a little bit about the sport, then very, very carefully share that with them. But don't overindulge by trying to make major corrections, because that can be costly as well. And when I say it can be costly, you can be too critical, and in being too critical, causing them to shut down. Don't even want to practice. Don't even want to get out there and be involved in the drills because of the simple fact that you're sitting there being critical of the child. You know, but I also had a chance to observe something slightly different. Also had a chance to observe a parent or guardian or whomever that came there to really and truly be engaged, or should I say at least focused on what the child was doing. Now, I had a chance to watch one mom as she sat there and she wouldn't take her eye off of the activities going on with her child. And I applaud that because of the simple fact that now you're getting a chance to see what your child is doing and whether or not your child is really and truly enjoying the activity. If your child is not enjoying the activity, then maybe that's not really and truly their thing. Maybe they're in this because of the simple fact that you have put them in this. This isn't something that they have asked for. And in watching this parent as she observed her child, noticed that she was locked in. I didn't see her pull out her cell phone. It's not like I was monitoring every move, every step, every breath that the lady took. I was walking around the gym, just doing a quick observation, noticing that she didn't pull out the cell phone one time I don't even think she even pulled one out to even check the time. She was more or less focused on what the child was doing. And I applaud that, because from time to time, we all know, and our children may not say it, but they do like to look out there and see that we are watching. That's their level of comfort. To see that we are watching, we are there, we are still supportive. The worst thing that you can possibly do while your child is practicing, and forbid you to ever do this during a game, to get up and walk out of the gym or walk away from the field and turn your back on the activity. Now, if you got up and walked away from the field, you moved the distance away from the field, but you're still watching, hats off. That's what you should do. But if you move away and you are not observing anything that's going on, oops. And I say oops because guess what? Guess what? What's going to happen the minute you step out of the view of that activity. Whether or not you stepped in the hallway or whether or not you turned your back because you're on a phone call or you walked away for whatever reason, the minute you step away, your child is going to do the spectacular play of the game or of the practice, and you're going to miss it, and you can't recapture that moment. Not at all. Your child's going to be excited. You're going to come back in. Your child's still in a celebratory mode, celebrating. Oh, man, jumping up and down, running down the field, running down the court, and you're going to be like, what happened? What did I miss? You can't get that moment back. Only thing you can do is hope that your child or someone in the stands, another parent, captured that moment on video and is willing to share it with you. I'm telling this from a firsthand experience. My very own son, at the age of, I want to say he was eight. Yes, at the age of eight, was playing in a game. And it was a one-day tournament where if you lose, you go home. If you continue to win, you make it to the championship game. I stepped out to use the bathroom. Go to the little boy's room. I'm at the little boy's room. And I come back, and the crowd is still cheering. And I look around, and I see the kids running back down the court, my son running back down the court. And I'm like, okay, all right, what did I miss? And I asked this gentleman that had a camcorder, and he was recording at the time, wasn't able to show me the playback. This was back in the day, you know, it's not like you can hit those video clips and text them to each other just that easy, but he wasn't able to show me the playback, not at that time. And he went to explaining to me what just took place and what I missed. And the only thing I can just say is, oh, man. He explained to me that my son got his own rebound, tapped the ball to himself, ran out in front of everybody else, got the ball, started dribbling the ball. The other team on defense came down and tried to stop him. He went around one guy, came back and ran into a trap where other two guys was at, and he spun around and went around them and ended up finishing at the basket for a layup. Again, I did say that we're talking about an eight-year-old kid with that level of understanding of the game, having such a high IQ in the game, was awesome. Now, all this was explained to me by the gentleman that shared with me that I just missed. So I can only imagine what it looked like. Would I have rather been present to see it for myself? Of course. I probably would have still been cheering. But I can only imagine what it looked like. And in doing so, realized I missed an opportunity. So, moving forward, without a doubt in my mind, I was determined I would never miss that opportunity again. As long as they were playing, I was in the gym watching. As long as they were practicing, I was in the gym watching. When they took a break, I took a break. whether or not that was halftime, middle of the quarter, whatever, end of the quarter, whatever, water break, whatever. Again, you want to join in on this conversation, 516-453-9932. Give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts. Love to hear what you have to say. Hey, guess what? We're going to step away for a hot second, and we'll rejoin you in a few minutes here on the Parents Coach the Parents Network. I'm M.H. Scott, the host of the Parents Coach the Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach the Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach the Parents Network.
Guys, athletes, scholarship mentors, help you and elevate parents, coaching parents, know the game.
Don't go anywhere. The Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott, will be back in just a few moments.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott. It's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call.
Hey there, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with the Rams. If you can, give me a call.
Hey, Mr. Scott. This is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael, George Johnson again with the NBPA. We are playing phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA. You left...
Hey, Mike, this is John DeLon, the head coach at West Virginia. Try to get in touch with you here, so... I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at
home. Hey, Mr. Scott, Dave Lakeville calling. It's about 6:15. Hope all is well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your facts.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all is going well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Sorry about audio. I was actually just...
Scott, this is Justin Young, editor of Rivals.com Basketball Recruiting. I just wanted to give you a call this morning. It's 9:45. I understand...
Mr. Scott, how are you? This is...
Guys, athletes, scholarship mentors, help you and elevate parents, coaching parents, know the game.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach the Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach the Parents Network. All right, we're back. And, folks, hopefully I shared some stuff with you here the last few minutes while we were away that caught your attention. as well as what the first half of this episode was all about. What I want to do here in the last part of the episode, while we prepare to wind down, just talk about some parent, sports parent engagement, how to be engaged. Just thinking about some of the things that we can do to keep ourselves engaged. You know, first and foremost, I say you have to be attentive. You have to at least pay attention. Even if you don't know anything about the game, parents, you have to be at least observant. You have to be able to watch what's going on. You don't have to share your views, because you may not be sharing something that your child really and truly need to hear. If they are, oh man, not working as hard as you think they should or shouldn't be, you know, I'm hoping that's why they have a coach, and the coach can get that point across to them and help them understand the benefits of doing without. And see, that all goes back to some solid coaching. And at some point in time, I'm going to talk more about coaching and just having the thoughts of having an ideal coach. The thoughts of having an ideal coach. What does that look like? But being engaged, you know, just observing. It's just understanding what we're looking at and why we're looking at it. What is the child doing during the time that he or she is involved in their sport? You know, parents have a unique opportunity to help their child develop lifelong engagement and enjoyment in sports and any physical activity. Any physical activity. Because of the simple fact that we're there to support them. We're there to make sure that they're having fun with it. We're there to make sure that it is enjoyment and development. If it gets to the point where it's stagnant, then it's not something that they really and truly going to be involved in or want to be engaged with, because of the simple fact that there is no upside for them. There's no reward at the end. So we want to make sure that they develop lifelong engagement and enjoyment in their sports and any other physical activity. The behavior of an adult figure, whether or not we're talking about a coach, whether or not we're talking about a teacher, whether or not we're talking about parents, extended family members, whomever, the behavior of that individual, as well as their peers and their siblings, play an important role in influencing the child's behavior. Let's think about that for a moment. And I've seen this. I've seen this just this past youth football season, where you had a team that wasn't doing that well. Okay. But instead of the parents, and I often try to encourage them, but hey, an adult's going to say what they believe that they should say. Only thing I can do is attempt to try to encourage them to think otherwise. But the attitude of the adults infected, and I say infected, just like a bad sore that became infected. And we know what happens when an infection sets in. You get all this nasty, oozy, goozy, junk, pus, and everything else coming out of the sore, and something that we don't want. So the adults infected their children with a negative mindset, to the point where young athlete felt as though it was totally okay for him to pull his helmet off while he's on the field and walk off the field. during the game. Referee did everything within his power not to totally eject that kid. Realizing that that was a young kid, you know, just going through some emotional things, things wasn't going right for him, and decided, okay, let me talk to the coach. Let me see if the parents have anything they want to share or add or whatever. But we're not going to do an ejection. Now, later on in life, that may not be the case. That may not be the case, but parents, we have to watch what we do and say. Because if we don't watch what we do and say, then our children are going to end up imitating what they see on the sidelines coming from us. That's not a good thing. Because when that happens, oh man, you know, we got all kinds of foolishness going on. But it's our fault. And we can't just sit back and say, well, no, the coach this, no. Because the simple fact that every situation, we can be the buffers out of concerning negative energy that's being displayed or being put out. Let us observe that negative energy. But as far as our child is concerned, nah. Positive light, have fun, enjoy, engage, enthusiastic, all the whole works. Let us absorb that negative energy. Because we as adults know how to channel that negative energy. Now, we can either channel it to the point where we take it, use it as a motivation. We take it and restructure it to make it an opportunity for our child to grow and learn. But to take that negative energy and then add to that our personal feelings, come on now, what are we doing? We are setting our kids up for failure. Because they're trying to imitate us with that same negative energy, but they can't explain the rhyme or reason behind it. They'll say, because what? Why? Explain it to me. Give me some details on why are you feeling this way? Oh, because the coach is jacked up. Okay, how you know the coach is jacked up? You don't know. I don't think you know more about the game than the coach does. But if so, then we should have made you the coach. But our level of influence has a very, 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 can't stress that point enough, high impact on our child's behavior. However, parents are the enduring role models. We are the enduring role models. So the way we act, the way they're going to act. And if you don't know how to act, or if you can't contain yourself, or whatever it may be, just sit there with a stone face. Hold on to your expressions. Minimize them to the point where they're not being displayed every time your child turns and look at you. You got a disgusted look on your face because somebody kicked the ball and it went out of bounds. You got a disgusted look on your face because your child missed a pass. You got a disgusted look on your face because your child didn't get the pass. You got a disgusted look on your face because your child just got subbed out of the game. Villain? Man, get over it. You take all of that and turn that into positive opportunity. positive opportunities. Everything's a learning experience. You know, I do a after-school program, and then this is going to be really brief. After-school program. But one of the key things come out of that after-school program I do, called MBA Math Hoops. And this is the philosophy of MBA Math Hoops. Not my philosophy. This is the philosophy of the group that created MBA Math Hoops, called Learn Fresh, a company called Learn Fresh. Learn Fresh clearly states there are not winners and losers in every competition. There are winners and learners. Winners and learners. We have to be able to take those miscues and make those miscues learning experiences, opportunities to grow. So it all starts with us parents, whether or not we're rebounding the ball to help your child work on that next move or perfect that next move or continue to work harder at that move, or we're just sitting there being attentive, not sitting there on our phone totally disengaged from what's going on. Parents who are actively involved, notice that your child is more in tune with what's going on. Now, when I say actively involved, you're not trying to overshadow, overtalk, overdo what the coach is doing. You're not trying to reteach everything that the coach just taught. You're trying to just reemphasize and stress the key points of what the coach was trying to develop in your child. Because if you're trying to reteach everything, no, you're not being actively involved. Trust and believe, you're being destructively involved, because your child's going to walk away not a learner, or possibly a loser. So we want to stress the point of being winners and learners. Now, can a winner be a learner as well? Yes. Could someone that did not win be a learner as well? Yes. And no, I'm not going to say that someone that lost, can they be a learner? No, if you didn't win. We all know the terminology. We've grown, folks. 516-453-9932. If you want to give us a few minutes of your time to join this conversation, we always welcome you in. Always, always, always welcome you into this conversation. You know, because this is what we do here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. We share our insight and our experiences with the next generation of sports parents. It's something that we have to do, folks. It's not like, you know, just hold on to it or sit back and complain, moan and groan and do all these other little things. No, no, no. Why? What good does that really do at the end of the day? What really does that do at the end of the day? You know, so just to highlight some of the key points that, you know, us being supportive, our behavior is key. Being supportive is key. Point of interest. Our behavior is key. Point of interest. Our participation is key. Point of interest. And overall, our attentiveness is key. Point of interest. And I say that because I want you to understand that. I want you to believe that. I want you to just think about that the next time you're sitting at your child's activity, whether or not it's a practice or whether or not it's a competition. What can you do as a parent to show your support from the stands? Should there be a difference between boys and girls' activities? No. The same level of enthusiasm, the same level of joy, the same level of happiness, the same level of cheering and just being engaged should be coming from the stand, whether or not it's boys competition or girls. We have to do that, man. Because if we send that negative message that, oh well, I've watched the game, bunch of brothers game, and by the way, you know, did you see that 3-point shot? Did you see so-and-so dunk the ball? Really? But you didn't have that same level of enthusiasm talking about your daughter's game? Come on now. What message are we really and truly sending? We're sending a message that their game isn't really all that important. No. What are we doing to their development if that's the message that we're sending? Parents, it is vitally important that we understand just those basic things. You know, our behavior is important when watching a competition. Our participation is important when watching a competition. Our support, just being supportive, that's important. Engagement, our attentiveness is important when watching a competition. Come on now. If we can't do those basic things, then maybe you need to find a surrogate to sit in and watch your child be involved. Because if you're not doing it, then in the end, what's going to end up happening is your child's going to lose out. And we don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen. We want your child to grow and develop just like all the other children that's involved in that activity. Whether or not we're talking about a sporting activity or whether or not we're talking about just regular, day-to-day play. But it's all about, in the end, what we do that sets the tone for a positive feeling coming from your child as we move forward. Well, folks, since I didn't get any call in today or anybody joined in on the conversation, you know what? This being going into the Christmas holiday, and I know you may be out shopping around about now and didn't get a chance to really sit down and listen to the entire episode. So I'm just going to kick back here for a second and let this last few minutes be your time as we engage in this here little piece I call Feel the Groove. Or should I say, the composer calls Feel the Groove.